God, Mum, you're not on Tinder.
Most people call it plenty of fuck.
We're going to make you a profile.
The Playing With Matches podcast, where women talk about their experiences dating online. Hello, and welcome to Playing With Matches, episode 5. Today we meet Amanda. Amanda was one of the first people I spoke to, and it was during the first UK lockdown. She was the only person I interviewed on my own. After that, I always made sure Joanna or Denise were present because I was a bit concerned that a man asking women such personal questions could make them uncomfortable. But Amanda was great, very honest and open. I've wanted to share this interview for a while, but the audio quality was quite poor. The internet connection was very weak. We tried 3 different calls and a few other technical things to improve the sound, but in the end, I decided it was best just to let Amanda tell her story. She said that computers were not her thing, and I didn't want to inconvenience her any further. So I've tried to clean the audio up as best I can. There's a lot of chair squeaks and internet demons where the voice kind of stretches out like that. But her story can be heard fine, I think. Amanda's had quite the life. A reserved upbringing and 2 husbands that left her wanting more from life. She's embraced online dating with mixed results. Some hilarious stories and some unkind men along the way, again, I'm afraid. She has a great sense of humour about it all, though, and this episode is overall a lot of fun. So I'll let Amanda get on with it. I'll be back at the end with a quick sign-off and a couple of emails we've had from you out there. Until then, take it away, Amanda.
My name's Amanda. I'm 1 of 5, a middle child, so I have middle child syndrome. I'm exactly in the middle. I have a younger brother, younger sister, 2 older sisters. We were born in Liverpool. A long time ago, in the 50s, my dad used to stand in an orange box in Sefton Park, spouting out socialism for the masses. Everybody has to be a socialist. Equal pay for equal rights. And the 5 of us would just stand and watch him. He packed up, moved through the Mersey Tunnel. And as he was going through the Mersey Tunnel, he instantly became a fascist. So he got kicked out of the Conservative Party for being too fascist. One extreme to another. I asked my mum about sex when I was about 9. So she said, ask one of your sisters. Don't ask me. Ask one of your sisters. And one of my sisters used to be all red, a face, a chin, a nose. The cheeks would be all red and sore and peely. So I said to Diane, how do you kiss? And she goes, well, actually, you see my face, it's all red and peely and sore. She goes, when you meet a man, he's going to get nail varnish remover and rub it all over your face. So that's why my face is all red and peely. I was petrified of kissing anybody because I thought he had just a bottle of nail varnish remover and he was going to rub it on my face. My dad said, if I could only have sex if I was engaged to be married. So I got engaged when he was 30. I was 18. So by the time I was 22 and being engaged 4 years, I wasn't an 18-year-old kid anymore because women grow faster. He stayed the same. He stayed in his 30s. We finished and then I got married to somebody I knew 6 weeks. Obviously, we didn't know each other, did we? We had 2 children, moved house 4 times. He lost his job. You know, in 6 years, a lot happened. Both his parents died. I suffered 6 miscarriages, just too much. He just imploded because it was just too much. And then he left us on Christmas Day 29 years ago. And then I met my second husband on New Year's Eve in Asda. So if anybody tells you you can't meet anybody in the supermarket, they're lying. He was with his daughter. He asked me, was I married? I said, no, I'm not married. My ex-husband had only been gone a week. I said, no, I'm not married. Maybe 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago. I left my husband. One day I just had enough. I packed my bags and left. I'm still married, but we don't live together anymore. We don't live together. So I'm separated. And then I started dating. I went on Plenty of Fish. The first date I ever went on, we went out. He was really nice. He was lovely. He, not my type. This is going to sound really shallow of me, but I've never been out with anybody without hair before. Bald. Bald. Beautiful, but bald. And we went out. We went to the pool, met in a pub, and he just stared at me all night like I was the best thing ever. Just hung on. every word I said, every word I said, he was like, and I thought, he's so nice. He is so nice. And at the end of the night, he went to give me a hug. He goes, do you know why I asked you out? No, because you look like my dead wife. I'm like, what? I look like your dead wife? Yes. She died 2 years ago of a brain tumour, left me with twins, two-year-old twins, and he was trying to find a replacement for his dead wife. So the next date I went on, he was an Irish chef. Went on, it was lunchtime. I turned up on straight from work at lunchtime. I took half a day off. I had a suit on. I had a really nice blouse on. He said, what do you want to drink? I said, oh, just a glass of wine, please. I haven't had any lunch. He goes, we don't have glasses of wine. You can have a bottle of wine. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I'll drink it slowly, a bottle of wine. I'm only staying for one drink because we might as well make a bottle in there. So he had a couple of pints. Then we went to another bar and he got me another bottle of wine. Have you ever been so drunk that you've drunk too fast, but you haven't got drunk? So you've drunk it really, really quick, but it hasn't reached your blood system and you're not drunk, but you don't feel very well. Yeah, so it hit like my stomach, on an empty stomach. I went to the bathroom in the bar, thought, I can't go home on the train covered in sick. So I would take my clothes off. So I'm not sick on them. He came into the bath ladies' toilet to look for me. There I am being sick with just my bra and knickers on. Not a good look. So he held my hair while I was being sick in the toilet, and then he put my clothes back on again, inside out. So I had my suit on inside out, because it just an inside out jacket, inside out skirt, tapped my head and put me on the train and goes, let me know that you're okay. I'm like, oh God. And I'm sitting on the train, everyone's looking at me because I've got inside out clothes on. Not great. Now he keeps on asking me out, asking me, should we do it again? And no, we're never doing that ever again. We are never doing it again. So I went on a date and this man was really articulate. He was like, worked for setting up the NHS in Nigeria. So he had a really good job. He was tall. He was intelligent. He was nice looking. I didn't wear anything particularly revealing, but he just talked to my chest all night. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt, thinking maybe he's shy, but he just talked to my chest that all night, and he just carried on this conversation about his job, never looked at me in the eyes, not once. The end of the date, I said, oh, I've got to go now, I'm going home now, thank you for the date. He goes, okay, bye you two. What up? Bye you two. I do have big boobs, unfortunately, and my boobs are huge. They are ridiculous, like joke boobs. They are so big. But we'll move on from that. Or the small Italian. I'm 5'9", so I'm quite tall for a woman. I told him I was 5'9". I asked him how tall he was. He goes, don't worry, I am tall. Do not worry, I am a tall man. I will meet you. He was 5'2". He had children's clothes on. He was chest height. I went to Rome a couple of years ago. Everybody's chest height. Everybody in Rome is my chest height. They were just kind of walking into me all the time. I'd go, stop walking into me. And that's what he was like this tiny Italian that just wanted to walk into my chest. Hair tugging man. That was an interesting date. Hair tugging multimillionaire. He owned his own pharmaceutical company. Turns up in a Ferrari, bright red Ferrari. Indian, really nice looking man, a bit younger than me. And he insisted on sitting next to me in the bar. We'll sit at the bar. We sit together. So I sat next to him, and he kind of doing that. I thought, well, maybe I've got my hair caught in my dress, and he just sat there. And I said, oh, I think I've got my hair caught. And he goes, oh, maybe you have. And I'm like, and then he goes like that again. I'm like, what are you doing? And I caught him and he goes, I have a hair fetish. I'm obsessed by women's hair. I'm like, wow, you're really weird. You may be a multimillionaire, but sorry, not for me. It's just funny. It's just funny, isn't it? It's like you, because I've been married twice. I've had one boyfriend and one other boyfriend, serious relationships. This is all a new world for me. This is all This is all so interesting and so new. And then bisexual people, and then people being swingers. Like, wow, where do all these people live? What are they all doing? What jobs do you have? What do you... And I'm so fascinated by other people. Broaden people's horizons, hasn't it? People that would have just kept it to themselves. Now just spread it around. It's great. Yeah, now I'm on Tinder. You can travel the world on Tinder. You can do the global, and you can talk to people all over the world and let you know. And that even broadens your horizons even more. Because there's dating websites for people just wanting a one-night stand, which I've never been on. There's dating websites for people that were fat. I'm like, wow, maybe I should try that one. There's all sorts of dating websites that you can go on to just specifically for people's needs, aren't there? And I did find the Bumble, everybody was quite serious on there, whereas, yeah, Tinder is more, I don't know. I've been speaking to a professional streaker. Wow, he's been all over the world. He's been to the Olympics streaking. Who travels the world streaking? I wouldn't see this in my ordinary life. Nobody's been horrible to me. Nobody as yet has been horrible to me. I've had a couple of people asking me for money. Like, why would you ask me for money? You're just, yeah. And then you think, why would you do that? Just, obviously they have their own reasons, don't they, to ask people for money. They will obviously see pictures of models and then they message you and then they're obviously not who they say they are. I did date an Italian for 6 months that I met off a website. This is on match.com. He was much younger than me, much younger. But I thought, you know what, why not? Why not just go out on a date with someone younger? My last husband was a lot older than me, and men seem to get older quicker than women. So I went out with him. He was a classical guitarist. Do you know when you just meet somebody and you have an instant connection with them? When he saw me, he said, I don't like you. You are not my type. I don't want to see you. You are not my type. You are too big for me. You're too fat. You're too tall. You're too this. You're not my type. But let's go and have a drink. You know, we're here. But looking back now, do you know when you go out with somebody and they say a word about themselves and you put it in a box in your head and you hold it in that box in your head and you think nothing of it? You think nothing of it, but then it comes back to haunt you. Everyone gives a clue about themselves, don't they, when they meet somebody? So my daughter's, I'll give you an example. My daughter's word about herself is hard-faced, very, very hard-faced. My word about myself is complicated. His word about himself was selfish. I'm a selfish man. What can I say? Oh, no, what did he say? First word was, I'm selfish. And then he goes, but I'm a truthful, honest man. Honest means not always honest. So anyway, we went out. We went to the pub. I thought, well, I'm here now. You're not my type. You're bald. You're skinny. You're not my type. So we were neither of each other's type. We were surprised. And then we went to a pub and then he touched my hand and it was like nobody else was in the world. It was just like it was just us two. And it was just like a connection that I've never felt before in my life. And he said he hadn't. And then we went back to where he lived in Liverpool and we were together all the time. It was just lovely. Everything was great. He met my family. It was lovely. It was just real romance. You can see where this is going, can't you? He was going back. He lived in Sardinia and he was going back to see his mum and dad in Sardinia. On the Monday morning, we went out to a club on the Friday night. I probably did have too much to drink. My shoes were too high. I fell over and hurt my back. He looked after me all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. He looked after me Monday morning. He said, I want to go home now. I need to go and see a doctor. I need to go home. And he goes, you are cheating on me. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I just want to go home. You're going to Sardinia. I'm going to go home. He goes, no, I never believe a word you say ever again. We are finito. We are finished. I don't want to see you ever again. I just want to go home. It's unreasonable. That's it. We are finished. That's it. Do not message me again. Do not speak to me again. He didn't. He was just seeing looking back, he was seeing the reason. A couple of months later, this is probably delving far too deep than I should do, but my daughter has the same horrible big chest as me. I had to leave the beach before now on holiday. because people were staring that much. She took herself off to Lithuania last year and had them removed, completely removed. When they were recovering, because when they're so big, they have to take your nipples off and then they have to move your nipples. So because they were so big, her nipples were probably too low down, so they removed her nipples, put them up there. And then one day she goes, oh, what's that? Oh, look, it's my nipple. And it just came off in her hand. So, and she goes, oh, never mind, throw it away, let's move on. As I said, large-faced. And she just moved on. So Marco had seen my daughter. We'd gone out for a few times. He'd met my family and we'd gone out. And she's a little bit of a show-off. So we were in a club and he was quite feminine. And he said to Jessica, I like your blouse, let's swap clothes. So they swapped clothes in the middle of this club we were in. And she took her blouse, didn't have a bra on, because as she said, I've got nothing. Why would anyone look at me now? And then he turned around and said, I want to have sex with your daughter. Like, no. Looking back on hindsight, he probably said it so I would never speak to him ever again. That would, if I saw me out, I'd never speak to him again. Wasn't great. Then he said, everything I said to you, you know, I told you I was an honest man. Everything I said to you was a lie. Every time I told you I loved you, it was a lie. Every time I said you were sexy, it was a lie. It was all a lie. Everything I said was a lie. Because I don't think he believed. I don't think he actually believed that I went home on my own and he couldn't get over it. He couldn't move on. He wanted to hurt me in some way. I don't know. Who knows? He was sleeping with his mother until he was 15. Who knows what goes on at people's lives? So now I've moved on, but nobody's dating. This is since February, so I've not been on any dates. Just had lots of chats with really strange people who were really funny and nice. Don't want to go to my old people's home. And then I sit there and I haven't done anything. I'm not ready to move on to having sex with other women yet or sex with lots of people. Not ready for that yet. But hopefully one day soon I might be, because I don't want to sit in my old people's home and I haven't done anything. And everyone's regaling me with stories of what they've done. And they go, what have you done? I go, nothing. I've done nothing. When I was married to my second husband, we got married and he turned the tap off and he goes, no more sex. Don't discuss sex. Don't talk about sex. Sex is a dirty word. Don't know. I don't want sex. But I need to make up for it. I just need to push myself a little bit further to sleeping with women and having bisexual encounters and one-night stands. I've never even had a one-night stand. I should do, shouldn't I? I've done Morris dancing and Irish dancing. So, yeah, I just need to push myself a little bit over the thing and just do it.
So that was Amanda. I wonder if she's out there trying new experiences to share in the old people's home. I like to think so. Wonderfully frank and very funny. Thank you, Amanda. So we've had a bit of correspondence from our email address, and you can contact us at playingwithmatchespodcast@gmail.com. All one word, playingwithmatchespodcast@gmail.com. The first is from Julie, and she writes, I've been really enjoying the show, thank you Julie, and all the different women sharing their own stories. I wonder if you are doing any more interviews, as I have had some ridiculous dates, and I think it would be good to hear, and may even be helpful for your listeners. Thank you Julie very much, that's great. We have a lot to get through, but certainly I'm interested in hearing more stories, and if our listenership continues to grow, then absolutely, I've messaged you back. Our second is from someone who wishes to stay anonymous. And Anonymous says, are you planning to show the darker side of online dating? All these women are very funny, but it can be a dangerous game to play and sometimes the results are less than amusing. I think a more balanced approach would be a little more realistic. Well, thank you very much for your email. And you're right, there were a few women we interviewed that had more, shall we say, troubling stories to tell. The issue was that they, like you, wanted to remain anonymous. And on a podcast, that can be quite tricky, involving a voice actor, getting the tone to be authentic and true to the original interview. We are planning to make it work, though, and we'll keep you updated. I think most of the women we spoke to have had their own version of horror stories, and I would say we have quite a good balance already. The resilience, if that's not too patronising a word, of the women we've already heard from has really impressed me, considering the fact that all five have had their fair share of setbacks and at the time of interviews were still single and still looking. So thank you to all of them, And thank you very much to Amanda for sharing her stories so openly for this episode. I think that's it for now. Thank you all for listening. And please do get in touch with your own stories, thoughts, suggestions, all very gratefully received. So until next time, good luck out there and on there.